Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It's 100 degrees below zero outside. We asked Lou Manfredini to join us. Hi, Mr. Fix-It. How are you?
Hi there. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
You don't sound well.
No, I caught in the last couple of days of vacation a cold, and it hit me like a nor'easter. It slammed me. It pounded me, Lou. Are you in good health? Is everybody in the Manfredini household well?
We are.
No,
yeah.
I'm glad
everybody's
to hear.
Good. We went through it before Christmas, so it lingers. Everybody knows there's something going on there that just lingers.
Is your house
cold?
Draft free? Is your house warm in all of its spots?
No.
Lou?
No.
You know, it's like we're new in our condo, but it's like everybody I talk to in a condo or a house are suffering for the cold, even inside their homes right now.
John, can I pass on a little wisdom that I learned once from Lou Manfredini?
All right, I'm going to write this down.
There's a spot in my kitchen that is freezing. It's the southeast corner.
Yeah.
I've insulated under it in the basement. I mean, if you open up the kitchen drawer, the snack drawer,
yeah,
the food is refrigerated.
Yeah.
It's just freezing. So I explained this to Lou, and Lou said, well, some houses just have cold spots.
Yeah.
Some houses have cold spots.
Well, nobody builds a house to withstand this kind of temperature. And so this isn't, I mean, there's no one, unless you live, you know, if we were building something to go in Antarctica, just the way we construct houses, there's always going to be breaches and there's always going to be drafts. And older houses in particular are not as tight. And this is, you know, this is an anomaly. And this is where little things do make a difference, but also we just have to muddle through.
Well, I was telling Steve that you have in the past advised us to stick a plug in the unused outlets in your wall, an insulated thing, right?
Oh, well, there's an insulation kit that you can buy where you remove the trim cover.
Yeah.
And it fits around the outlet and covers the box almost like you're putting a sock on it.
Oh, wow.
And then you put the cap back on. But the little holes were the
holes. Those are
right,
like jetpacks of cold air coming in.
Right. No, there you would use. I mean, you could plug something in, but you could also just do like the little kits you use if you baby-proof a home. You know, the little plastic caps.
I think that would be a good idea. Well. Do they sell those at Ace Hardware stores?
They absolutely do.
No, I'm not kidding. I thought I'm going to go to an Ace Hardware store for that alone.
Yeah.
I mean, what the hell? I'm like, why is it so cold? Well, I've got 52 jets of cold air coming in my house right now.
So you have to unscrew every plate and put it in there and screw it back in?
Well, I'm just going to little plugs in. I'm just going to put a little
thing
in there. Yeah, you could do just the little plugs. But on outside, this is very effective on the outside walls. That's where all the draft comes in. But, yeah. I mean, now everybody. You know what, John? The single biggest advice I give to everybody that right now there are people listening when I say this will go and do it and they'll go, doop. Go and lock all your windows.
Yeah, we had one that wasn't locked.
Right. And so people are like, this window is so drafty. And then, you know, so in particular on second floor windows where, you know, you open them up and you may not lock them because you're not worried about Spider-Man coming over. Those windows are open, or they're unlocked rather, and they don't seal. And if you just go now and lock them, it will be remarkable the difference you feel in that room.
Okay, but in this place that we have, and it's my son's place, is the same thing. All around the seams of the window, you know, you just feel cool air seeping through or coming in. Should we get a caulk gun and just like put some caulk there? Or
if you're feeling, you know, right now with this cold weather, it's the perfect opportunity to do the candle test. You take a little candle and light it, and you go around the window, and you'll see it flicker. And oh, there's a draft right there. And if you take clear caulking that you can buy, you know, at the hardware store, or you can even buy it, and if you don't have a caulk gun, they make one in a tube that you squeeze like you're decorating a cake.
Yeah.
And you go around and caulk the trim to the wall and the trim to the window, and sealing that up and then using your finger to get it nice and smooth. It will dry, it goes on white, and then turns clear, and it will make a huge difference.
What do you think about fireplaces? We've been using the fireplace to heat the room. You know, it kind of
serves the worst heat source you could use.
Thank you.
Is it a wood burning?
No, it's gas.
It's gas. So the problem with gas is that it needs air to combust. And so it's taking your warm air that you just paid the heat to create the flame that then's going up the chimney.
No. Well, okay, that's maybe helped some people. It's not my case. We have a ventless gas fireplace. It's just fake logs.
Is there glass in front of it?
No.
No, there's not. There's no vent at all?
Uh-uh. It's just,
then you're good. Then that's like lighting a match under your rear end.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll heat. Absolutely.
Have you done that?
And do
we
have a working carbon monoxide?
No.
Do we have a working carbon monoxide detector in that room?
Yeah, Brenda thinks I need to get one of those because the house smells kind of funny. We've been real sleepy lately.
That's nothing to joke about.
Yeah.
Okay? You need to have one.
Yeah, I know.
I'm dead serious.
I know, because you're right. Give me another tip, Lou. By the way, if you have a question for Lou Manfredini, or some observation, 312-981-7200. If you're trying to keep your house warmer, what do you want to know? Go ahead, Lou.
I talked a little bit about this on Saturday, but if you have forced air heating and you need to go downstairs right now and check the furnace filter and change it, because if it's clogged and dirty, that unit is working so hard right now to heat your home. You know, the more sophisticated units, even the newer ones, they sense all the pressure and the amount of airflow that's going through it. And if the airflow is not good enough, especially a newer furnace, it kicks the blower up even higher. And then at some point, if it just can't get enough air, it shuts itself down and goes into an error code. And then you have to call the HVAC contractor to come out. They replace your filter that would have cost you $5 at the hardware store.
Yeah.
And you paid $300.
What do you think for filters? Do you like the really cheap disposable ones, or do you like the higher quality, longer lasting ones?
I like the higher quality pleated filters, but then people have to be diligent about changing them. In particular now, John, where we're closed up, you know, even if you've sealed up the home, even an older home that's a little bit drafty, but all those allergens, that cold that you have, is going through the air, and those pleated filters are 10 times more effective at cleaning the air than the pleated filters. However, furnaces, when it comes to forced air, is all about flow, and so it's something that you have to change more than likely every month. But we're talking about $5, and it's 3 months, so it's $15 to do, and it really does make a difference. The other single best thing you can do to stay more comfortable in your home is to add some humidity.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about that.
And if you have a whole house humidifier, that's great. But because it's so cold and because the moisture gets absorbed so quickly, it is really important or wise, rather, to use a portable ultrasonic unit, in particular in the rooms that are farthest away from the furnace, because you're not getting any moisture up there.
Can I ask a stupid question? So if The purpose of the filters is to clean the air that you're breathing, right?
Well, twofold. When it was first invented, because cold air returns used to be in the floor on older houses, they were really designed so that if someone dropped something down the cold air return, it didn't break the blower motor.
Okay, but
literally.
But now I've got two, right? And
correct.
So is there any logic in being willing to breathe a little dirtier air, but to increase the airflow by just taking the filters out for a few days?
Well, in other words, right now, it's freezing cold and you're listening and you go down there and you're like, oh my gosh, this thing is so clogged. Lou was right. I need to change it, but I can't get to the store till tomorrow. Leave the filter out. The risk long term, Steve, is that if you allow that dirty air to come through, the blower motor, the fins on the blower motor, will attract and collect that dirt. And so then that will lower the efficiency of your system. It could eventually lead to an issue with the blower motor itself, you know, because it throws it out of balance. And so the filter does offer some protection for the furnace itself, but ultimately it is the air quality. But, you know, if you went home right now and you're after work and, you know, I know how you love to get in your PJs and your slippers and you don't want to go back out again, just pull the filter out till the next day.
Hmm. I got a couple other questions about moisturizing the room, putting some humidity in the air. And a lot of our listeners have questions for you, too. You got another minute, Lou?
Sure.
All right, Lou Manfredini, he's your Mr. Fix-It. Lou Manfredini, our Mr. Fix-It's on the phone. Hey, Lou, will you take some questions from listeners?
Absolutely.
And one last thing before we go to them, and that is, so if I use a humidifier, like some of these things, it seems like spin and throw mist into the air, and then some of it sort of like put a steam into the air. Do you care what kind of moisture I'm putting into the air or how it gets there?
You know, the mistake that everybody makes with ultrasonic humidifiers is that they keep them down low, and you need to put them up high so that we allow that moisture to be absorbed into the air. And so most of those ultrasonics, both the cool and the warm mist, I mean, the idea is the warm mist gets absorbed more readily into the air. That's the advantage.
Yeah.
But the cool mists work well. I like to put them in a room where there's a ceiling fan running in reverse to kind of draw that air up and then circulate it through the home.
Okay. And so maybe just a couple, or put them wherever, just gingerly, you spread them around the house, these things?
You know, where you sleep at night, that's certainly, you know, you don't want to get, because now when it's so cold like this, John, the furnace or the boiler's just running constantly. And so the air can get really dry quickly. And so as you're trying to sleep at night, that's when you wake up with that dry throat, or your nose is dry.
Right.
So it's certainly helpful in where you sleep. And then in the main room where you may be at, depending on your home configuration, where you spend most of your time, is a good place to have it as well.
Matt has a question for you, Lou. He's on line one. Hey, Matt, you're on the air. What can we do for you?
Hello, King John, and hello, other King Lou. King of neighboring nation Lou.
Yes.
So my girlfriend came to me and said, I want to paint the apartment. And I said, wait, you want to do what? And she goes, yeah, I want to paint the apartment. And I said, but we're going to have to crack all the windows and make sure we don't dive in the paint fumes. And she goes, no, it'll be fine. Lou, here's a question. Does paint freeze if it's wet? Because my worry is not the fact that we're going to crack the windows and we're going to be freezing. We can just stay somewhere else for a night. But the fact that I don't want the paint to freeze on the walls before it dries, so that when it finally melts, it's just going to be running everywhere.
Paint does freeze because most of it's water-based, but the fact that you have a heated space inside the home, even though the wall is cold, it's not like you're painting onto, you know, a sheet of ice. What I will tell you in defense of your girlfriend is Benjamin Moore, for instance, in their Aura line of paint, makes a zero VOC paint. So not only the paint that you buy that's the tint base in the gallon, but the actual tints that you would use on there, there are no volatile organic compounds in the paint whatsoever. So while there will be an odor, it's not harmful to you at all. And within an hour, you'll have that fresh paint smell that is not whatsoever.
Matt, I hope that helps. I got 45 seconds left. Paxton, what's your question?
Oh, hi, Lou. Great service. God bless you. Lou, I live in the country in Iroquois County. I've got a furnace, a propane furnace, a boiler, and usually around 2 or 3 o'clock it clicks off, and I have to go down. It's 40 degrees in the house, I go downstairs and reset it. There's a reset switch. And I hit that. And then it comes back on and usually lasts for about 3 hours or so. What I'm concerned about, is it because it's so cold that it's doing that, or is it something wrong?
Yeah, okay, hold on a second. We're running short of time. What's the advice
you have? A myriad of reasons. Those reset buttons on boilers can be due to the fact that, you know, there could be a flame sensor in there that's over that's not sensing the flame on there because it's running so hot. There could be an issue with the sensor or the reset button itself. If it's a forced air furnace, you said you have one of those as well, there are limit switches that what happens is it runs so much that overheats, which causes the reset button to go. This is a time when it'll be very difficult to get HVAC contractors to your home for service calls, but this is when these systems that aren't particularly maintained as well as they should be cause issues. And that's where that $100, $120 service call that I talk about all the time really does come into play.
Well, listen, for you on Saturday, Mr. Fix-It, thanks for your time this afternoon.
You got it. Nice talking to you all.